Hi, everyone. So I just want to start by saying that I have no financial disclosures or conflicts of interest. And so I'd like to mention my collaborators on this project, Sari Reisner with Harvard School of Public Health and Fenway Health, and Matthew Mimiaga with Harvard School of Public Health, Harvard Medical School, and Fenway Health. So to start, we know that there's health disparities among sexual minority women and girls in comparison to their heterosexual counterparts. Numerous studies have found that sexual minority women are disproportionately affected by a variety of health outcomes. This includes psychological distress, alcohol and illicit drug use and abuse. And we see that these patterns begin early in life and at an early age with sexual minority adolescents at increased risk for a variety of the same health outcomes. And this includes psychological distress. We see a lot of depression, suicidality among adolescents. Again, we see early drug use and abuse. And we also see physical and sexual abuse reported among adolescents at a greater rate than their heterosexual counterparts. We also know that these factors often lead to sexual risk-taking among both adults and youth. So there's really a need for additional research here. As many people are familiar with, the 2011 Institute of Medicine report called for more data on sexual minority youth. Much of the health literature today, or health disparities literature, looks at sexual health outcomes many times by sexual identity, and there seems to be less research that focuses on the sexual behavior of adolescent sexual minorities, and in particular looking at behaviorally bisexual females in comparison to their heterosexual counterparts. We often see that lesbian and bisexual are lumped together, and so this particular study aims to look at the sexual health outcomes of sexually active high school females and looking at a comparison between behaviorally bisexual and behaviorally heterosexual females. So for this particular study, we used the 2007 Massachusetts Youth Risk Behavior Survey, the YRBS, and as many are familiar with, this is a probability proportionate to size random sample of public high schools. In this case, we looked at the sample within Massachusetts. So these were students from grades 9 through 12. Students were administered an anonymous survey of risk behaviors, and this survey is conducted every 2 years in Massachusetts and funded by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And so this particular talk focuses on a secondary analysis conducted through the Fenway Institute. So looking at the sample, we had more than 3,000 individuals in the sample. We then limited it to students who were female, who reported some lifetime sexual experience. We then looked at girls who reported lifetime sexual contact with a male and female partner, as well as those that just had sexual contact with a male partner. We excluded any students who were male or who did not report sex. We also excluded anyone with no sexual contact or those who didn't answer this particular question. We also excluded girls who reported sex with females only. So this limited our final sample to 912 high school girls. So our primary independent variable of interest was lifetime sexual behavior. And so we looked at behaviorally bisexual, so girls who reported sex with both male and female partners. And the referent here was behaviorally heterosexual, so girls who reported sex with male partners only. We then looked at a variety of outcomes, all binary. So we looked at contraceptive use, and this included reporting having ever used the birth control pill, the Depo shot, the vaginal ring, or some other form of birth control. We also looked at lifetime pregnancy history, so whether girls reported being pregnant one or more times in their lifetime. We looked at lifetime history of HIV and STI testing. We also looked at substance use during sex, so this was whether or not girls reported using drugs or drinking alcohol before their last sexual encounter. We also looked at unprotected sex, so whether or not girls reported using condoms during their last sexual encounter. We looked at whether or not girls have had four or more lifetime partners, whether or not they reported sex before the age of 13, and whether or not they reported experience of forced or unwanted sexual contact. Our covariates here were older age, with the cutoff being 17 and over, and we also looked at racial ethnic minorities in comparison to white students. For data analysis, we staff version 9.2. We weighted the models appropriately to account for survey design. We ran descriptive statistics on all the variables I just described and obtained bivariate associations for the primary independent variable of interest in the covariates. We then used the product survey logistic procedure in SAS to be able to investigate differences in sexual health outcome by reported sexual behavior and determine statistical significance at 0.05. So looking at our weighted descriptive statistics in terms of demographics, we see that the age tends to cluster between the 15 to 17-year-old age. We also see that the sample, the weighted sample is predominantly white, and of course this is consistent with the population in Massachusetts. For lifetime sexual behavior, 88.5% of the sample were behaviorally heterosexual, while 11.5% were behaviorally bisexual. So in looking at lifetime history of contraceptive use, pregnancy, and HIV or STI diagnosis, we see that there aren't major differences between behaviorally bisexual and behaviorally heterosexual females in terms of use of contraceptives and pregnancy. With HIV and STI diagnosis, 5% of behaviorally bisexual girls reported having ever been diagnosed with HIV or an STI, and 2% of behaviorally heterosexual girls reported a history of HIV or STI diagnosis. None of these differences were statistically significant in bivariate analyses. When looking at HIV and STI history, we see that in chi-squared analysis, significantly more behaviorally bisexual girls reported having been tested for HIV and STIs in comparison to behaviorally heterosexual girls. In terms of sexual history and behavior, we're seeing that significantly more behaviorally bisexual girls are reporting sexual behavior and sexual risk, and so that includes substance use during sex at the last encounter, unprotected sex at the last encounter, having had four or more sex partners in their lifetime, experiences of sex before the age of 13, and experiences of forced and unwanted sex. So these were all significant in comparison to behaviorally heterosexual girls. Then we did, we conducted logistic regression models that were weighted and adjusted according to age and race. And we see that in all outcomes, behaviorally bisexual girls were at increased odds of substance use during sex, unprotected sex, and four or more, having reported four or more sex partners in their lifetime. We also see the same thing here with behaviorally bisexual girls reporting greater odds of sex before age 13, forced or unwanted sex in their lifetime, and having had an STI test ever in their lifetime. So in summary, we see that behaviorally bisexual girls are at greater odds of engaging in a variety of sexual risk behaviors in comparison to behaviorally heterosexual girls. In addition to being at greater odds of having four or more lifetime sex partners, behaviorally bisexual girls were at increased risk of sex before the age of 13 and also having forced or unwanted sex in their lifetime. We also know from previous literature that early sexual debut and experiences of rape are risk factors for subsequent sexual risk behavior and may place youth at increased risk for the acquisition of HIV and other STIs, and this has been shown across numerous samples. While there were no differences seen between groups with regard to pregnancy and STI histories, we did see that behaviorally bisexual girls appear to be more proactive in being screened for STIs than behaviorally heterosexual girls. I'd like to note a couple limitations. So this was a cross-sectional study, so we weren't able to assess causality here, and it may not be generalizable to all girls outside of Massachusetts. But given that this is a probability study, it is generalizable to high school students in Massachusetts, and it seems to be consistent with other literature conducted among youth in other states. And little representative research today has documented difference in sexual health between behaviorally heterosexual and behaviorally bisexual adolescent girls, so this is a contribution to the field in that respect. terms of future directions, we need to have additional research to be able to understand the factors that may contribute to sexual risk-taking by sexual behavior. We also be worthwhile to explore sexual outcomes by sexual orientation, and in fact, the paper that we plan to put out will explore the intersection between sexual orientation and sexual behavior among girls in this sample. And lastly, we need to explore sexual wellness across the lifespan, and this needs to be informed by developmental differences beginning in adolescence in order to be able to provide insight into the differential health outcomes that we see between behaviorally bisexual and behaviorally heterosexual women later in their lifetime. So that's it. Thank you.